Okay, Erev Tov. Good evening. Nice to see you all. We're starting a three-part series, visiting the sick and comforting mourners. This is part one: what to say and how to really help people in their time of need. We'll be doing Etta. We'll be joining for second, perhaps definitely the third session. When we get to, we're going to do some play acting a little bit and role playing. But here we're going to start with the fundamentals, and this is a fascinating area of halacha and Jewish thought, because this is something that we've all done in our lives. We've all gone to visit a sick person. And I do just want to say that at the outset, and whenever we study together as adults, that I want, you know, this is about shared wisdom. This is not, you know, me teaching you as if, you know, you're not novices to this. Everyone has had to pay a shiva call or pay, you know, do bikur cholim. And some of you also have professional experience dealing with challenging situations. People who are in crisis, people who are in need of emotional, mental, medical support. And so we come to this with some life experience, some knowledge, and some acquired wisdom. And so on that basis, we're going to study some of the sources. And I do want to I want to share a particular way of thinking about Bikur Cholim. And again, some of this may be intuitive. Some of this, you may have come to this conclusion on your own. But I think it's also important to go back to the sources, to see how the sources develop these ideas. I think there will be some elements of them. Tonight, we're going to start with the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And we'll see there are elements of this mitzvah which are frankly quite obvious. And there are elements of this which I think are not so obvious. That and this gives us the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah in a more productive way. But I will just throw out the following questions first. If you were ever in a place where you experienced loss or were sick, or was with a family member who was experiencing this, I'm curious to hear what things did people say to you that were helpful? What did they do that was helpful? And what do you remember as being, wow, that was really unhelpful or hurtful or insensitive? I'm curious to hear from you what, based on experience, if anybody wants to share. David, yes.
Was hurtful that my mother's brother lives in Boca Raton in America. He flew on five book.
Yeah.
But they put a thing on my brother passed away. Do you think he found? No. Yes. One kid who lived in nowhere was in an oil rig, he found.
He found. Not phoning. Not phoning. Not phoning. Well, not phoning, and it sounds like there was a complicated family situation there, but not phoning.
Mom lost contact with him. She doesn't talk to him.
Okay. Nachon, so these could be...
I see pictures of Facebook, will I load the pictures down to my gallery and show them.
So these could be make or break sort of situations for us, for relationships. Okay. Anybody else?
Sometimes you talk, sometimes you keep quiet.
Okay.
Many years ago, and I was very unwell because and I remember somebody who came, and on one hand I had the drip, on the other one a cast, so I had no hands available. And this person came and she lit the candles for me for Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
She fed me in the mouth, and it was very moving.
Wow.
But sometimes it was just silence, it was just.
That's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Okay, anybody else want to share? No pressure, but if I'll
broke my leg, my ankle.
Yeah.
And the shul was so nice to me. Everybody came to visit and brought fruit and they bought cakes and biscuits without sugar and drinks.
And it felt good, like they were being sensitive to your particular needs.
Danish herring without sugar for me. They brought this and they brought that.
Okay.
And they came to visit after shul, bought me the biltong and the...
Wow. So bringing the things that you like, made a big difference, being sensitive to your needs as opposed to, you know, some generic person's needs. Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of not overstaying your welcome. So
okay, it's also
it's nice to get visited, but
that it's also, I remember being still in the ICU and people coming and visiting me, and I could barely breathe at the time, and
And they were there for too long. That's a very...
It's nice to have someone come, show that they care. Again, being a physician, I have a lot of friends who are physicians, who therefore were able to fight their way into the ICU to visit me after surgery. And it's nice to know people care, but it's also there's a time and a place and to recognize when it's time to say hello and I'm thinking about you, get better, and goodbye.
Well, that's very powerful. I mean, how do you figure out just the right time to leave, right? It's like, you don't ask the person, should I leave now? how do you, reading the situation, it's not always easy. It's hard to know what the, and we will see that sometimes the best way to do it is to ask, would it be okay if I come and sit next to you? How long would you like me to stay? Right? You could always ask and give the person, empower the person who's sick. To tell you what they need, instead of us assuming that we know what they need in this particular moment.
The rest of it is buried.
Yeah.
We're missing a minute.
Yeah.
My mother.
Yeah.
No one wanted to come.
No. Okay. So we'll let's move on to the next. Now I will mention something that someone said to me once. Someone who was sitting Shiva for their I think for their father, and they said they remembered everybody who came. And who didn't come. Like it was it meant a lot when people came, but he also felt that there was like a glaring, it was very obvious who didn't come for this person. And, it is, we see how these could be very sensitive moments, for people in these situations. So with that opening question, let's jump right in. Is it a mitzvah to visit the sick? So, yes, no. I mean, where does it say in the Torah, lech levaker et acholeh? There may be stories, Avraham Avinu. What story with Avraham Avinu? The Malachim. Oh, they're coming to visit him. Okay, well, that's interesting. Isn't it angels visiting a human being, a model for human beings going to visit, other human beings? Okay, it's an interesting... okay, so that's... But that we're looking for biblical text, though, David, right? Not Ma'asim b'chol yom. So first of all, we see in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kuf Kav Zayin Amud Aleph, and we say this every day. After Birchot HaTorah, we say, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Dvarim, Adam Ochel Perotein Ba'alam Hazeh, V'Karen Kayem Et Lo Le'olam Haba. There are six things in which the principle, in which you enjoy the fruits of, meaning the reward in this world, and the principle, you receive that reward, which is the greater part of the loan, if you will, in the next world. And what are they? Elohen hachnasat orchin, welcoming guests, ubi kur cholin, v'yun tefillah. So welcoming guests, visiting the sick, yun tefillah, focus during prayer, hashkabah ben amidrash, going to the amidrash early, etc. So we see here that bikur cholin is one of those things which a person will receive great reward for, both in this world and in the next world. Now, just to give sort of a rational explanation to this, if we want to move away from a reward, I think we could all agree that visiting the sick, and we shouldn't do this because of the benefit that accrues to us, but I think we could all agree that sometimes when you go and visit somebody who's sick, well, it gives you some perspective in life, okay? And sometimes we're very, either we feel we're complaining or we feel that life is not good enough or we don't have everything that we want. And then you go and you visit your friend in the ICU and it puts everything in perspective. You're upset about the slight that your colleague did or someone didn't say hi to you. And look, this person's hardly able to breathe in the ICU. It puts things in perspective. And in that sense, it extends our life and it helps to hopefully deepen our life. In that sense, there are fruit, there is reward, appreciate to be enjoyed both in this world and the future world. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't know the parents.
And that's a big mitzvah.
What are you doing here? I don't know. You don't know me. But you say, I've come.
That's a beautiful example of Bikur Cholim. Yafeh. Thank you, David. Amazing. Okay, let's go on now to the. There are two sources in the Torah which suggest, two sources and a third concept, which may be the source of Bikur Cholim. We have in Masechet Sotah, Daf Yud Dalid Amud Aleph, we have a pasuk, Rab Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. My dichtiv. What does it mean? The following pasuk: Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Telechu. You shall walk after Hashem. Can we walk after Hashem? Hashem is not a physical being. God doesn't walk. How could we walk after God? And the Gemara goes on to say, God is a fiery, consuming fire. How could we walk after Him? Rather, what does it mean that we walk after God? We walk after God's attributes, God's ways. And there are examples of the of things that God does, acts of kindness in the Torah that we emulate. For example, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malbish Aramim, who does God clothe in the Torah? Anybody remember? Who does He give clothing to? First time in the Torah? To Adam v'Chava? So we should do the same thing. We should give clothing to those in need of clothing. Okay, next line. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biker Cholim, God visits the sick. Just like God visited Avraham Avinu, okay, it could be the Malachi. Hashem visited Avraham Avinu, so too we should visit the sick. And there are other examples of this. God comforts those who are mourning. We should comfort those who are mourning. Okay, so we model God's kindness, okay, from seeing His actions in the Torah. And this is one source. Acharei Hashem Elokechem Telechu. It means that the source of morality, the source of ethics in the Torah, comes from a divine command or a divine sort of model, okay? That's the first verse. The second pasuk, which suggests there's a mitzvah to visit the sick, comes from Shmot Perek Yudchet Pasukah. This comes up in this week's parasha, Parashat Yitro. What's the story? Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting and judging the Jewish people from day and night, and he is exhausted. He's drinking 7 cups of Turkish coffee a day just to get through the day. And Yitro, his father-in-law, sees him and says, Moshe, you're going to tire yourself out. He says, let me help you. And he acts as a consultant. He says, why don't we do this? Let's create different levels of judges, different circles of a hierarchy of justice system in which you're at the top and you don't need to answer everyone's questions. And that's exactly what they do. And he tells Moshe, v'hizharta etem et hachokim v'tatorot. You're going to teach these judges. V'hodata lahem et haderech yelchuva. And you will notify them, you'll teach them the path that they should take. Now, Yitro has already told Moshe, teach them the laws of the Torah. So what is this adding when we have Chukim and Torah? But what's beyond that? Hodat lehem et haderech yelchuva. So the Gemara in Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Tzadik Tet Amud Aleph, quoted in the Torah Tamima, tells us, we'll just look at one line here. Each of these words are parsed to teach us a different thing that Moshe is teaching to these judges. And yelchu zeh bikur cholim. On the way, to go on the way, that is bikur cholim. Now, what is the connection between yelchu, walking, going on the way, and bikur cholim? Anybody want to take a stab at this? What might be the connection between these two things? Going on one's way and the mitzvah of bikur cholim. So the Torah Tamima explains that, this is Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, in his commentary, he explains the connections between comments of Chazal and the words of the Psukim of the Torah. And he says as follows: Lichu zehu bikur cholim yesh lomar al pi halashon haragil b'Chazal hanichnas levaker tachoda shlosha shenichnasu levaker tachoda. Whenever a person is performing bikur cholim, there's an element of entering, of walking, of going a distance, if you will. Okay, and all these different examples in the Gemara of going to visit the sick. Okay, why is this? This is the way of the world. A sick person is in bed. They're stuck. They're in one place. And someone else is going to them, going to their place to visit them. So halicha is the key. Now, this idea, though, is taken further by the Maharsha. The Maharsha, in his commentary to Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Amud Bet, says as follows: Va'amar yelchu zu bikur cholim v'chulei. It's such a beautiful insight. Diva halichato sham bilchud. It says merely going to the place where the chole is, bilishum maase nekaima, without doing anything, you fulfill the mitzvah. How is it possible that just by going to the location of the sick person, without doing anything, you have fulfilled the mitzvah? Meaning, it is the halicha, meaning it's the actual going, which is the most fundamental aspect of the mitzvah. Why would that be the case? It's just being there. It's just being there. It's not saying the right things, not solving their problems. It's not necessarily doing something for them or buying them a meal or buying them a Danish and a cup of coffee. No, it's just being there. What is it about being there that's so important? What is it about being there that's so important? It's showing a person, I care. That's the most fundamental thing that people need in this moment. To know that you care. That's it. To know that you care. It's, okay, we'll talk about other things you might be able to do when you get there. Okay, but the most fundamental thing is just going. Okay, I was talking to a cousin of mine who lives in Beit Shemesh, and he somehow became sort of the president of his shul, a little shtibul in Beit Shemesh. And we were talking, they're looking for a new rabbi in the shul. He says, what is the most important thing that you look for in a rabbi? That's an interesting question, right? And he says it's that the rabbi shows that he cares about his people. That's it. Like, it's the most basic thing. Maybe the rabbi could offer some great insight. Maybe he could teach Torah. Maybe he could do all these other things. But just that you care. And I think that's totally true here in this situation as well. Just that a person cares. And going shows that you care. Even if you don't have the right thing to say. And he quotes from the Gemara that when you go and visit the sick, just being there removes an element 1/60th of their sickness. Just by being there. And again, then we go back to this question, well, how long do you stay for? Well, this really, to some degree, suggests that, well, you don't need to be there very long, right? You really don't. You just need to show up, okay? And sometimes less is more in this situation. But so we're already getting to the fundamentals of, you know, just by looking at the basis, the source of this mitzvah in the Torah, we're already getting an understanding of, well, how do you perform the mitzvah? What are the fundamentals? What are the basics? Okay, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? Now, there is a machloket between the Rambam and the Baal Halachot Gedolot about enumerating this as a mitzvah. We know there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah, 248 positive commandments. Is Bikur Cholim enumerated as one of them? So there's a commentator by the name of the Baal Halachot Gedolot who lived in Gaonic times, 9th century, if I'm not mistaken. And he numbers many different mitzvot as actual parts of the 613 mitzvot. Ve'elu hem mitzvot kumaseh. These are mitzvot that are counted as 613 mitzvot. Kriyat Shema u'tfilin. Saying Kriyat Shema, putting on tefillin. Likbor meitim, to bury the dead. Linachem avelim, to comfort mourners. Livaker cholim, to visit the sick. That he counts as a mitzvah in the Torah. Now the Rambam does not count this as a mitzvah. He doesn't. Doesn't count it as a mitzvah. Doesn't mean the Rambam doesn't value visiting the sick. He does, but he subsumes it under another principle. Let's read the Rambam inside. And we'll read this, I put in English, such a primary source. Evelyn, would you like to read? It is a positive commandment. The Rambam Hilchot Avel Perek Yud Dalet Halacha Aleph. Go for it. It is a positive commandment.
Carry a corpse on one's shoulders, walk before the bier,
carries the coffin, yeah. Okay, mourn.
Mourn, dig a grave, and bury the dead, and also to bring joy to a bride and groom, and help them in all their needs.
Okay, what type of commandment is this? What does he say in the first line there? Rabbinic, okay. These are deeds of, keep going. Okay, and that references Ve'elohen Gemilut Chasadim Shebegufo She'ein Lahem Shiur, that have no limit. And we said earlier, we quoted that Gemara on Masechet Shabbat. Sorry, it's another source, but fine. Meaning, there's no limit to how much you could do this. The more, the better. Okay, keep going.
Although all these mitzvot are of rabbinic origin, they are included in the scriptural commandment Leviticus
19:18.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, I'm confused here. We just said this is a rabbinic commandment, and now the Rambam is telling us this is a Torah commandment based on love your neighbor as yourself. Don't walk beside me. Don't walk behind me. I may not follow. Don't walk in front of me. I may not lead. Just walk beside me and be my friend, and together we will walk in the ways of Hashem. David. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Ze klal gadol b'tav l'reacha kamocha. It is a mitzvah. So what is it? How do we explain this Rambam? Okay, two explanations. I want to share with two explanations. One that's quoted in the Chidushim of Rav Tzvi Reisman, who quotes Hagaon Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Sifro Orchot Yosher. Chaim Kanievsky, Gadol Batara, who passed away last year and a half or so in Bnei Brak, buried in Bnei Brak. And he says as follows. What is really happening here? And I'll just say this outside. What he believes is that the Rambam is saying that there's this general mitzvah called Gmilut Chasadim. Okay, there's a general mitzvah. And that the source for that is Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Within that mitzvah, the rabbis delineated, well, what actions in particular are included on that mitzvah? And that includes the whole list. It includes hachnasat kala, lotziat tamet, lenachem avelim, levaker cholim, lavot ha'orchim. Okay, interesting, lavot ha'orchim. Did that appear in the English here? To accompany guests. To accompany guests as you walk out and a guest, okay? All of these things are the rabbinic sort of filling in the concretization, the rabbinic concretization of a Torah commandment. Torah commandment is sort of amorphous. Love your neighbor as yourself. And here the rabbi is telling you rabbinically, how is this defined? So when you do these mitzvot, you're fulfilling a Torah obligation, but it's as determined by the rabbis. Okay? That's the meaning of this this Rambam, according to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Okay, one second, I'm just closing some stuff on my phone so that we don't chew up battery. Okay. Okay. Wow, a lot of apps are open right now. One second. Okay. Oh God. Okay. Okay, good. So let's continue. So that's the first explanation. Second explanation is brought down in Tshuvot v'Hanagot, Krach Bet Siman Taf Kuf Tzadibet. This is Rav Sternbach and Moshe Sternbach, and he asks the following question. He asks two questions. Number one, how could you say that these mitzvot are rabbinic in origin, and furthermore, the Rambam says they're part of V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. He says they really should be part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. We think of tzedakah as just giving money. He says, but tzedakah is not only giving money. There's an idea in when it comes to tzedakah, that if you have a poor person who is used to, you know, was once very wealthy, and they used to have a chariot and horses riding in front of them, then it's your obligation to provide them with a chariot and horses. They machzor asher yachzor lo, fill in the subjective need that they need in their own life. So clearly tzedakah is much broader than a person's, you know, just giving them money. And so so he gives the following explanation. Let's look at the third paragraph. V'al korchach nireh la'anyudati. Pashut. She'im yeishlach ola tzorach b'mevakarim. She'yisa'aduhu b'diburim ha'b'masim b'divrei chizuku b'tfilah v'chadome. Chayavin mei ha'torah. ומכל שכן את המצווה מדבריהם, היינו בגוונה שאינה צריך למבקרים. שיש אצלו מספיק מבקרים, ואבלים יש לו מספיק מנחמים, ואף וכן ראוי לכל אחד להשתדל זכו במצווה זאת, כשמדבריהם ראוי לקיים את המצווה משום ואהבתה לרעך כמוך. אבל כשזהו צרכו בכלל צדקה וגמילות חסדים, שהם מהתורה גם לרמב"ם. Okay, he says as follows. This is a Torah commandment that's part of גמילות חסדים generally. When, in what cases, there are two different ways to perform this mitzvah. Let's say you go to a person's house, and they're sitting alone in bed, and they've got no food, and no one washing the floor, and no one helping them, and no, they don't have medication, and you're like, you're filling in their basic needs. That is the mitzvah of gemilut chasadim. That's the mitzvah of tzedakah. Fill in the needs of a person in need. That's track one. Track two is, well, let's say you have a situation where you go to a house, you go to a hospital room, and there are 30 people there. The family's there, and the close friends, and the neighbors, and you're the 31st person. Now, it's very nice that you showed up, Do they need anything from you? No, they're fine. They don't really need you in particular, but in that moment, you fulfill the mitzvah ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Because you would also want that 31st person to show up to show that they care. Okay? And so you could sort of fulfill this mitzvah in two different ways. The first way is more obvious, which is included under the mitzvah of tzedakah. You're filling in a need, a practical need that they have. The second way is perhaps a little bit less obvious, but again, it points to, I think it points to the idea that avdal recha kamocha is thinking about what would this person want, or what would I want in their situation? And that means that we're trying to put ourselves in their shoes by sort of putting ourselves in our shoes. By understanding what we would want, we're also trying to think, well, what might they want? Imagine what they would want, okay? And that's another element of Bikur Cholim, which I think is really fundamental. Number one, as we've spoken about, is just going, just being there. But number two is not imposing what you think they need on them, but, you know, trying to figure out what are their needs. And just like they would think about my needs and I would want them to think about my needs, I'm going to think about what are their needs in this particular instance. Okay, so now we get to part two, in which we have a really, really famous Gemara. And the Gemara is going to have some quite significant theological ramifications, okay? But it also gives us guidance as to the purpose of this mitzvah and how do you perform the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Talmud Bavli, Masecha Nedarim, Daf Mem, Amud Aleph. So what happens? Rav Chelbo fell ill. There was no one who came to visit him. Rav Kahana said to the sages, didn't the incident involving one of the students of Rabbi Akiva who became sick transpire in that manner? In that case, the sages did not enter to visit him, and Rabbi Akiva entered to visit him and instructed his students to care for him. And since they swept and sprinkled water on the dirt floor before the sick student, he recovered. It seems like Rav Chelbo falls ill and there's no one to visit him. And then Rav Kahana remembers the situation of Rabbi Akiva going to visit his Talmud. Okay? And what did Rabbi Akiva do? It's very important. What did Rabbi Akiva do at this moment? He swept the floor and he sprinkled water on the dirt floor. Why would you sprinkle water on a dirt floor? No? What does sprinkling water do? Was it bringing mud into the house? Like, what is that? So I'm assuming here is that it's dusty. By sprinkling some water, you remove some of the dust. And the student said to Rabbi Akiva, my teacher, you revived me. So now we see that going to visit, and Rabbi Akiva went out and taught. Now listen to this. With regard to anyone who does not visit the ill, it is as though he is spilling blood. Wow. As it could be that the sick person has no one to care for him. If there are no visitors, no one will know his situation, and therefore no one will come to his aid. You don't visit, you're spilling blood. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babylonia, he said, anyone who visits the ill causes that he will live. And anyone who does not visit the ill causes that he will die. So wow, this is tremendous. We are empowered to cause someone to live or die. Now, the Gemara asks, in what way are his actions the cause of that result? Like, how are you causing someone to live or die? If we say that anyone who visits the ill pleads for mercy from God that he will live, and anyone who does not visit the ill pleads for mercy that he will die, does it enter your mind that he would pray that the sick person will die? I mean, the Gemara is taking Rav Dimi very literally, that if you visit the ill and you ask him that the person should live, so then he's going to live. But if you say, God, please kill him, then the person's going to die. Is that what you mean by this? No, rather, anyone who does not visit the ill does not plead for mercy for him, neither that he will live nor that he will die. So if you don't go to visit him, you're not going to end up davening for him. Since he might have saved the sick person with prayers had he visited, his failure to visit is tantamount to causing his death. It certainly is. It's hyperbolic. There's no question about it. But The Gemara's goal here is to try to motivate you and me to do something. And people aren't motivated by, we're not motivated by go visit the sick. We're motivated by, wow, you could save a life or you can shed blood. So what we see here is, okay, so what does it mean? What is the mitzvah of Bikur Chodim? So number one, we see that Rabbi Akiva tends to the needs of his student, very basically. You know, sprinkles water, cleans the floor. That's number one. But number two, we see that there's another element here of praying for a sick person. Okay, and somehow there's this idea that if you do not go and visit the person, you will not pray for them. Now, why is that the case? I mean, we do a lot of things virtually today. We work virtually today. We listen to shiurim virtually today. We have parties with our grandmothers, in California virtually. Why can't we? Can you daven from afar? So we have to figure that out. But this is a second element of Bikur Chodim, of davening for the person. And look what the Gesher HaChaim writes. This is Rav Michal Tikhachinsky. He wrote a sefer on Yechum Avelim and Bikur Cholim. And he writes, HaMitzvah Bishnei Ofanim. The mitzvah is actually, Bikur Cholim is a double mitzvah. B'shimush L'Tzorchei HaChodeh. You need to fulfill the needs of the person, of the sick person. U'vitfilah Shemit Palalim Alav. And you need to daven for them. As the holy Shlach writes, Mitzvah Bikur Chodim, he beguf uvenefesh. Visiting a sick person is about trying to help their soul and their body. You help their body by filling in their needs. You help their soul by davening for them, by praying for them. Okay? And the Tzitz Eliezer, this is Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, passed away about 15 years ago. Tremendous Talmid Chacham, wrote 15, 16 books of Sheilot Uchivot of Responsa. Okay, he deals with many medical issues. He has a section of his shutim called Ramat Rachel that deal with Bikur Cholim. And he asks the following question. He says, let's say you go to you go to visit someone. Again, all the person's needs are taken care of. Or you could be in the hospital, and there are nurses and doctors. Every one of their practical material needs are taken care of. Is there still a mitzvah to perform Bikur Cholim? Do you need to do anything about it? And he says, you know what? From this piece in the Talmud, Nedarim Daf Mem, we learn that indeed you would still need to go. There is still a mitzvah to be fulfilled. What is the mitzvah to be fulfilled? Okay, the mitzvah to be fulfilled is davening for them. Okay? And he writes here on the... he writes here on the bottom, Hilkach, look at the bold words. Hamivaker tachole v'lo b'kesh lav rachamim v'lo kiyem mitzvah. Harei mefuro sh'yotzei midivrei Ramban, sheme etzem matrat mitzvah bikur, hu gam b'ikar b'chtei shivakesh lav rachamim. V'al kedei kach shim b'iker v'lo b'kesh lo kiyem mitzvah. He says, if you don't daven for the person, when you visit them, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of bikur cholim. Yeah. Okay, he says beyond that, it's also that we see that you want them to feel connection, relationships. They want them to feel that they should have friends and support and loved ones in their presence, which we also learn out from this Gemara. Okay, Rabbi Akiva is showing love towards his student. He's giving him practical needs, and we see, in the Gemara here, we see that this notion of praying for someone. Okay, and this, in fact, is codified in halacha. You have to daven for a person when you go visit them. And if you don't do that, you've not fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Okay? Let's see. Yeah.
This been suggesting that the answer to that is no, because it's not just attending to them and attending to the needs of looking after them.
Correct.
It involves also still something more than that in prayer.
Correct. Correct. They may not. Or they maybe they're doing it partially, but not fully. Now let's see. Let's go into a little bit more detail about this, because this is the part where I think, and sometimes we us moderns, we struggle with this piece. I think we're very good at taking care of the practical needs. We may even be very good at having presence and saying the right thing or just being there. But how do we feel about davening for them, in front of them, or with them? Okay, so let's learn a little bit more about this. What is this notion of davening for them? So the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, David Ben Amudbet, teaches us, Tanana mihachi, hanichnas levaker at hachodah. When you go in to visit the sick, lo yeshev, lo agabe mita, lo agabe kisei, ela mita tev yoshev lefanav. Don't sit on a chair or a bed or on a chair. Rather, sit right in front of him. Why? Because God's presence is dwelling above the head of the person. As it says, Hashem yisa'adenu al eres davai. This is a pasuk from Sefer Tehillim, Perek Mem Aleph, pasuk Dalet. And in English, this means the Lord will sustain him on his sick bed. You shall wholly transform his bed of suffering. Okay, but it's the first part of the pasuk that's significant. God is sustaining a person on their deathbed, meaning God's presence is in the room with a sick person. And how do we know that a person, that God goes to visit the sick? So when you go to visit a sick person, I don't know, maybe it's something you felt. Has anyone ever felt this? You go into a hospital room, or there are all these stories of people who are, in the presence of someone who's very close to dying, and I don't know, they get this feeling. There's a feeling that there is some spiritual presence in the room that they can't quite put their hands on, but it feels very real to a lot of people, okay? That may be what the Gemara is referencing here, okay? Now, that means that if Hashem's presence is on top of the choleh or above the choleh, it means it's also an opportunity to daven. There's an opportunity for prayer. There's an opportunity to request things. And this is indeed what the Shulchan Aruch codifies. Now, by the way, when it says that you shouldn't sit on a seat or a bed, that means if the choleh is on the floor, don't sit on a seat. Don't sit above them. Okay, but as we'll see, you certainly can, as we'll see in the Ramah, just a second. So go to the next page, top of page 3. Now we're reading from the Shulchan Aruch. This is Siman Shin Lamed Hei of Yoredeya. And here, there's one Siman. There's one chapter about the laws of visiting the sick in the Shulchan Aruch. And this is it. HaMevaker Tachol Lo Yoshev Agabi Mita V'lo Agabi Kisei V'lo Agabi Safsal Ela Mitatev Yoshev Lefanat. You should sit on the sick person is sitting on the floor, sit on the floor with them, not on a chair, not on a table or whatever it is. Shehashchina L'malah Mirashutav. Now the Ramah adds in, V'davka Kesheacholeh Shochev Ala Aretz. This is only the case when the choleh is sitting on the ground. When the sick person is on the ground, you shouldn't be above them. But if they're in a bed, if they're in a chair, you could be in a chair next to them. It's possible beds were, they didn't have bed frames in the same way they have now. I don't know. Maybe it was a little bit cooler on the floor. I don't know. But I think there's an important principle here, and that is, illness and death are the great equalizers, in a sense. And part of... I'm sorry to hear that, David. Okay. So that's a reason why important shouldn't be on a bed. But I'm sorry to hear that, David. But there's an element here of fully empathizing with the person is being on the same level as them. And if you're above them, you might not be able to understand where they're at and what they're experiencing. That's the first halacha. And see, if Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you shouldn't visit people in the first 3 hours of the day. Why? Interesting rationale here. It's not because all the doctors are visiting, they're having breakfast, they may not be up. And that may be true as well. But the reason is that in the morning, a sick person is feeling better usually. They're feeling great. Again, this is a generality. But here's the key point. You'll see you walk in, okay, sun is shining, they look like they're doing okay. you as the visitor won't feel a need to daven for them. You won't feel compelled to daven for them. They're fine. They're okay. The last 3 hours of the day is the opposite. The person is coughing and they're sick. And you're also not going to pray for them. You're like, well, what's the point? You just give up. Okay? So you should go visit them somewhere in the middle of the day. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you visit someone and you do not pray for them, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. And this is quoted from the Ramban and the Beit Yosef, which we saw also quoted in the Tzitz Eliezer. Now, a little more details. If you are, when you do ask for mercy for them, if you say this in front of them, you could say it in any language. You could say it in Spanish, you could say it in Portuguese, you could say it in Hebrew and English, whatever it is. If you're asking not in front of them, then you should say it in Hebrew. Okay? Now, one more halacha. In general, you should include them in the cholim all of Am Yisrael, because then there's an element of davening for the klal. Okay. Then you're davening for the klal, for everybody. Okay, you're including them in the cholim, and then you know, there's always this notion when you're with a tzibur of davening for a group. You're davening for a collective. Everyone sort of, you know, whatever chasronot one person may have or another person has, they're made up for it with someone else's positive qualities. And there's a sense of we create a force field in a sense, or, you know. Nachon, exactly. Nachon. Now, why is there a difference between davening in front of the person or... But we try to get a minyan. Why when you're in front of them do you daven? You could say speak in English language. So the Shach explains, because the Shechina is right there, so you don't need somehow any language can work somehow. But if you're davening from afar, then you want to be davening. I don't know, maybe it's more formal. You know, it should be in Hebrew. Okay, but when you're in their presence, you could. And I think this makes it easier. The person should know they don't need to come up with some tefillah in Hebrew. You could actually say something in English. Say something that's from the heart, you know, in your own words. Now, connected to this is whenever we daven for a person, we daven for them, we say their name, and we mention their mother's name. Why their mother? It's based on a pasuk in Tehillim Perek Pei. There are a few explanations, but one explanation is we say, Pnei Elai V'choneini, Tena U'zecha Le'avdecha. David HaMelech says, look towards me. Give me, give me choneni, give me favor. You know, give strength to your servant, v'hushia levenabatecha, and save the son of your maidservant. Okay? And a maidservant is meaning, his mother. So that's how we get to, whenever you talk about a chole, yes, well, what's the mother's name? Dafka, as opposed to the father's name, based on a pasuk. And this is also codified in halacha, in Yalkut Yosef. And he gives an example of a tefillah, you know, and this, by the way, this is the best example of a tefillah that you could say. And it's also the shortest, and it's biblical. Who prays for their sister in the Torah? Anybody remember? Who prays for their sister to heal? Moshe prays for Miriam. And he says the following tefillah. El na refa nala. Shem, please heal her. That's the most basic tefillah. And he says, you know, you could change it. El na refana lo, el na refana lahem. Yeah, you could change the words of the Torah a little bit. That's the most, it's right at the end here. El na refana, that's the most basic tefillah that a person could say. And especially if you want to use the Hebrew. Okay? And this all relates to this tefillah, this bakasha v'rachamim. Now, related to this is a question, can you fulfill the mitzvah of bikur cholim by phone? Can you call them up? So why not? Why do you think why not? What's your logic? What do you think?
I've got somebody sick in Argentina. How can I visit him?
Okay, so obviously in a case where you cannot visit them. But okay, but you know, can you call up someone here in Ranana and say, you know, I just wanted to call to maybe, wish you a big, you know?
Maybe, I mean, you wouldn't go go and visit somebody who has a disease that can be contagious or dangerous for your own health.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, sir.
From what we've just been seeing, that the advantage of doing it in person is that you're in God's presence.
Okay, so you're God's presence there. But the but there's another element. So so we have two tshuvot here, by one by Rabbi Yosef, Nechavadat, Chilek Gimel Siman Pe Gimel. Rabbi Yosef asks, Aim Yotzi'im Yidei Chobat Mitzvah Bikurim Ayidei Shoesha Shoel Bishlam Achole Derech HaTelefon. You know, do you fulfill the obligation through a phone conversation? And he says, Ve'od, She'ayidei Bikurim Ba'ofen Yishiyat HaChodeh Hu Midrash Shem HaMitpa'el Yotem HaMatzav HaChodeh. By being in the presence of the person, you're moved when you see them sick. It's very different when you see them.
Turn the video on.
Okay. What is, okay, correct. Well, it's not quite the same thing. She'eno domesh shmiya l'riya. It's not the same thing to hear about something than to see it with your own eyes. U'mitorer levakesh alav rachamim b'chol libo. And you're moved to ask for rachamim. You're going to daven better at their side when you see them in all their suffering. And the bold-faced words, "Klamar shayadei bikurim midorela v'agesh levarachamim shashin nebarach yishlach tvaro atover v'irapeu v'itein b'lev arafim b'chochma bin avadat." You're going to daven with more kavanah. Okay, and therefore he comes to the conclusion: if you can visit the person and you do not, eino yotzei yidei chovat haMitzvah b'shleimuta. You do not fulfill the total obligation by phone. Okay. And again, we go back to the Yel Chuba, showing you care when you pick up the phone. Okay, it's one way to show you care. It is. But when you go, when you make that effort, that shines through. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein also, say again?
Yeah, but a little bit of emphasis back to
the Im Yachol. Correct. Im Yachol. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein also beinan bikur cholim aydei telephone. Okay, you see, he always puts in the English transliteration, and he says, first of all, you have to fulfill the needs of the person, and you can't do that when you're on the phone, as we saw by Rabbi Akiva. That's number one. But he also says, similar to Rabbi Yosef, that you will be moved to daven with more kavanah, and he says tefillah davening for someone is not something that you can ask someone to do on your behalf. Okay, there's certain mitzvot you could ask someone to build a sukkah for you. Okay, as a person to do, could be a shaliach lekidushin, legitin. A person could be a shaliach for certain things. It could be a shaliach to give mitzvah tzedakah for you, but they cannot be a shaliach to daven for this person. That's not a mitzvah that can be done by someone else. You need to do it yourself. Okay, it's a similar logic in the words of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, so let's just go to the top of page 4. Okay, and with this we'll conclude. And next time we'll pick up on this. This is from a book called The Practical Guide to Rabbinic Counseling, Visiting the Hospitalized Patient. That's the chapter, Visiting the Hospitalized Patient. It's a phenomenal book. I was given it by, and when I was studying at Yeshiva University in Reitz, they gave this out to us Yeshiva students. And there's a piece here about the rabbi's prayer. I think this is true for everyone, because everyone has a mitzvah to do bikur cholim. Prayer is an appropriate closing to a session of listening, validating and responding to need. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. When the rabbi offers a prayer, it should sum up the visit. The intent of this prayer is to repair a damaged, but not necessarily broken link in a chain, the patient's sense of belonging to the larger community and of his connection to God. Prayer should reflect the needs of the patient. At times, the patient will spontaneously request a prayer. In other situations, when the rabbi is not sure what the patient wants, he might ask, "Would you like me to offer a prayer?" In both cases, it is appropriate for the rabbi to ask, "What would you like to pray for?" Since not every patient is comfortable with prayer, the process should not be forced. The rabbi has the clear impression that the patient refused to hear or say a prayer. It would be appropriate instead to offer a parting blessing, such as, "God should take away your pain, give you comfort, and a speedy recovery. God bless you." Even the least spiritually oriented person will accept good wishes such as these. The best prayers are short and to the point. They should be said with power and conviction, directly to the patient. The rabbi's prayer should be heartfelt, authentic, and not formulaic, whether it's from a prayer book or said spontaneously. More importantly, as experience shows, the most effective prayer the rabbi can say is the final benediction, offered on the way out of the door. May God give you strength and courage take away your pain and anxiety, and give you peace. Okay, so you know, a person doesn't need to sit and say 20 prakim of Tehillim. Okay, it's really meeting the moment. Okay, and sometimes again, it's asking the person, well, what would you like me to? What should we daven for? Okay, and we'll pick up on this Bezrat Hashem next week about the person who's sick praying for themselves. That's an interesting piece here. We'll get to part 5. It's not about you. Part 6, validating, witnessing, and helping the sick person to reach an existential, a deeper existential place. There's end. Are there any situations where you actually daven that the person should die? Okay, there was a reference for that in the Gemara, and we're going to see, we'll see some sources around that. Okay, so this is part 1 of this this 3-part series. Thank you for participating. And send out the recording. And we'll continue Bezrat Hashem this learning series next week. And I just want to dedicate this to all those who are experiencing the devastation of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. They should have refuah shleima. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless them and look out for them. And terrible, terrible tragedy. And, you know, yeah. Tough.